So stay in the Spirit, says the Spirit of the Lord, whether you're here physically or there watching. For everything that you do today is measured in the prophetic, says the Spirit of grace. So let every moment, yes, sir. Let the cloud of my glory overshadow you. For the day will come, says the Spirit of grace, that supernatural signs and wonders will follow. So strong that my presence, the cloud of my presence will be in this place, even to the measure that those on streaming will see it. But for you, presently now, never step out when you've stepped in. When you come into these walls, even if you spend a few moments of social time, always let your spirit be in another place, being prepared for what you've come for, and that is meat, says the Spirit of grace. I'm asking you to grow up because I'm giving to you a harvest that is dear to me, says the Spirit of grace. So I'm asking you to stay in the Spirit. You're not allowed, my little ones that are so precious to me, you're not allowed to vacillate any longer from flesh to spirit. It's time to grow up. It's time to take upon a manhood and a womanhood, and then teach the adolescents how to grow up in this. It's not religious, and it's not confining, but it's liberty to stay in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. I'm asking you to use your authority to change things on the planet and to change things in the world in which you live, and to bring about my kingdom coming in fullness and authority, says the Spirit of grace. So grow up, little one. Stay in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And meditate my word. Now, this prophecy came out just last week, and I'll tell you it was by Pastor Jim Martin, and it was in many of you got it through maybe his email, but others and maybe more got it through Dave Roberson Ministries. It was present day speaking prophecy, and it is a wave of glory is coming, and I'll read that for you right now. It's four paragraphs. I say unto you, there is a wave of my glory that is getting ready to be released in this earth. It is being released upon the foundation of previous releases of my glory and my presence. It is being released because of the remnant that is worshiping me and praising me and seeking me and pressing into me. I'm able to work in them and on them and through them, and so another wave of my glory is getting ready to be released. Do not look for it in the natural, because it is taking place in the realm of the Spirit. But you will be able to see the results in the natural. And don't think in the terms of what you have experienced in the past. Do not predefine what the fruit will be of this move or of this wave. For I say unto you, it is going to impact not just my church, but various segments of society. It not only is going to bring about peace and salvation and restoration to many, but it is also going to create a great upheaval. Because this wave is going to come into direct contact with evil that has been so dominant for so long. Do not be surprised with what you're about to see. Because I am God Almighty and I will not be stopped. I am moving and I have been watching the evil in this nation and in this world. It has not escaped my vision. And I want you to know there is a mixture of great anger and great love that is being released from me. People are not going to escape the judgment that is being released. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Know this, that I'm watching over you. And as you continue to press into me, you will dwell under the shadow of the wings of my glory. And I will be there for you every step of the way. So again, know that a wave of my glory is getting ready to be released. So now, before it is released, and then, so rejoice now before it is released, and then rejoice when it is being released, and rejoice as it passes over you and through you, for you're going to experience my presence in a deeper, much deeper way. So be prepared. So be prepared. The wave is coming. Now, I know I've got you jumping up and down, but would you stand and lift your hands and just begin to thank Him and rejoice in the knowledge, the great wave of His presence is coming and has already been released. We worship you, Jesus. 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 We rejoice in you. We praise and magnify you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We rejoice. We believe your word of prophecy to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. May be seated. It's worshiping. Keep worshiping, though. Keep worshiping. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Mandakedese. Yes, sir. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Mandakedese. Ha. Mehoto. Jesus, yes, sir. Just like there's a great wave of my glory that is presently being released, and it'll catch you up in ways that you've not known or seen before in the past, says the Spirit of grace. For my glory is coming on my church. For the world has had little to look at by way of comparison to what I left, as in soundness of truth and of righteousness. But I'm beginning first, says the Spirit of grace, to bring judgment. Loving kindness and tender mercies will follow you in this judgment and even go before you. But I'm going before you with things that you've not seen before in the past. Just like you're looking for notable miracles, there'll be other things attached to this wave of my glory and of my presence. For things that the church has not seen for generations will once again be instituted, and even greater things, says the Spirit of grace. You'll see judgment begin at the house. What the church thought was things that only happened in ancient times will come back to modern times. Ananias and Sapphira will be judged, and at times will be carried out of the church. That's where my judgment will begin, because a standard of my glory will come, and men will rise up in righteousness and holiness and exact that standard so that I can come and bring a great loving kindness and tender mercies type fear to my body. But know this, it'll transcend out of the church into the world. For even as the first church was judged inwardly, then I also was able to go into the world and bring judgment, says the Spirit of grace. You'll find that as I do this, and as my presence comes with revival and greater glory, that I'll bring judgment even in the world, says the Spirit of the Lord. As Herod stood with his great orientation in the days of the apostles, in his pride and his arrogance, and would not give me glory, the word says, I sent my angel and I struck him, that he died in their presence. Know this, that you'll see, note this, not because this man of God says so, but because I say so. Mark it to see if it is true. You'll see men in high places that will pass suddenly because of my judgment, says the Spirit of the Lord. Because they have not humbled themselves. This won't be to all, but at times you'll recognize and know that I came with a judgment. And once again, this judgment is coming out of the church. Yes, sir. As Paul was able to turn to the sorcerer that withstood the gospel, and the deputy or the people receiving the truth, as the evil man withstood with a great argument, and Paul spoke and said, for a season you'll be cursed with blindness. And for a season he did, because I came in judgment. I'm coming first, judgment in the church, but out of that you'll see that I'll judge the world as well. And those who withstand the gospel, judgment will come upon them, says the Spirit of grace, in these last days. But I'm asking you to stay laser focused. I'm asking you to go into a place where I can bring this great wave of my presence and my glory, says the Spirit of grace, so that in the days ahead, men may marvel. They'll marvel and cry out, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you lift your hands? I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hing bada so telisidia da da da. Manda kedisikyo delikadasa talakriste de your waves of your glory, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Dia lokoromatsa da 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 da. Jesus. Things are happening in the natural, and identifying things in the spirit. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll say that. Malachasetiatana. So he said, say something about laser focused. I know what he's saying. We're to stay laser focused like never before. What does that mean? Well, primarily it means this, that what we've been called to above anything else is to give our lives in the four pillars of praying and fasting and worship and word. Give ourselves over to that for the purpose. Going into Him, humbling ourselves, giving our bodies a living sacrifice, that He's able to come and lavish on us the authority to receive this spiritual outpouring. And yes, it is spiritual. But make no mistake about it. If you do those things, and you hold to those things, don't let, this is where he wanted to bring clarification, I can see. Don't let that knowledge of what we're supposed to be is to say, okay, that's spiritual. Yes, it is. But understand it's supposed to have a great impact in this revival, in the world. And so what is going on the planet, and what's going on national TV and politics and government, for you to think, okay, laser focused, then can't ever think about or talk about or fight for anything other than that, you know, anything in government or, it's a misnomer in the spirit. It's a misunderstanding. In fact, the more you go in, you'll find that staying laser focused on those things, the spiritual part, then He'll use you and go into intercession, decrees, proclamations, and awareness to the people of God. What is going on and what just happened to President Trump is a microcosm of what is taking place in the spirit realm. The world doesn't know what we know and can't talk like us. And see, they don't know about spirits, angels, Holy Spirit, and a call for revival. So all they see is natural things. But to see the escalation of evil that's taking place in our nation, it's for one purpose. It's a spiritual battle. But the microcosm, or the consolidation of coming down to seeing all these things in governmental things, it's just an outward sign of the great darkness that's over our nation. And the great darkness is for this. It's for one purpose: to stop the harvest, to cause a darkness to be so dark that it would impede the harvest from taking place. Now ours is to stay laser focused. It's to stay in the spirit. But if you don't think that He doesn't want you to have something to say or do over there, it doesn't take away from your laser focus one bit in the world. There's a war. Daniel was the most laser-focused Old Testament prophet that I know as far as assignment. And he survived four kings. As a young man, he was taken into captivity and for 3 years before he ever saw the king. He never saw the king for 3 years, but he learned the Chaldean language. He went from Hebrew to Chaldean, and then he had to stand before Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, he's the one that interpreted the dream for him. Then later prophesied to him and said, because of the haughtiness of your heart, you're going to, basically, God's going to take your mind from you till he humbles you. He was right alongside Belshazzar, his son, Nebuchadnezzar's son. He's the one that, you know, blasphemed God, even though he knew what his father had been judged for. And his father came back and repented after 7 years losing your mind. He realized he's eaten grass like a cow out in the field for 7 years. The strongest king in the world, ruled over millions, lost his mind. God gave it back to him, and he said, "Oh." And then he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to write a blog and put it in the Bible, or a testimony. Belshazzar, his son, knew that and still blasphemed God and brought in all the articles of the temple, and they had a drunken party, and that's when God wrote on the wall. The hand comes on the wall. God wrote on the wall, "Your kingdom's departed from you." Daniel was focused on praying continually for his brethren that were in captivity. But he stood right alongside king after king after king. Darius, the next one in line. Darius comes along. He's the one that was fooled into putting Daniel in the lion's den. But what a great testimony. Darius is probably in heaven today because of that. Then it says he reigned, that he lived into the third year, I think it was, of Cyrus. The kingdom went from Babylonian rule to Persian rule. And when the Persians came in, they took over. And that's about when Darius, and then Cyrus was the last one. And that's the one that set Israel back to restore. But what are you saying? I'm saying this. There's no, you read some of Daniel, he's got about four chapters that are the most prophetic end time. I mean, Jesus himself said, "You want to know more about when I'm coming back? Read Daniel." In essence, that's exactly what he said. Read Daniel. Daniel was so prophetic, looking towards past 2024, 25. He's got things in there that I'm looking at right now, along with the book of Revelation, because they're just as relevant. And that's an Old Testament, not born again, not Holy Ghost filled, but God was on him. But he stood right along with these kings, and he helped change the kingdom, the natural kingdom, for a spiritual kingdom. Now we're in a war. We've never seen stuff that's taking place like it's taking place, and the corruption that's taking place. Yes, sir. Help me with that. Okay. Hallelujah. Be slow. Be slow. Thank you, Jesus. What about this spiritual war? This spiritual war, we're supposed to birth a revival. Hallelujah. Now know this, you just got to know this. no matter who goes in November, revival, if we don't stop, will still take place. But if you don't think that God doesn't want to change this nation in the natural sense, because it's a microcosm, it's just like Daniel stood beside these men and what happened in the spirit would interpret over into the natural. We'll either have a number of years of reprieve where things can change and restoration can take place in the natural realm, or all hell. I'm not going to predict what I think is going to happen, because I don't know exactly, and I'd be careful to say either way. But if you're of one of these, God bless you. Okay, this is where I said help me to be slow. If you're one of these ones that say, oh, you're part of the church. You're part of the church that's being deceived by a personality. And you're looking at him as God. Oh, no. Oh, no, you're wrong. My sovereign sits at the right hand of the throne. And I've been seeking revival for 30 years before he ever came down the escalator. And if he goes into prison or if he doesn't, my sovereign will still reign and we'll have revival. But if you don't think that God's not on his side to bring him in if he could, to help everything he could for this nation while he's deceiving the people, come on, man. Anybody that knows anything knows how rough. But he also has a mark by God. He's deceiving. No. No. That's an old revelation. I heard that. Was hearing people say that years ago. Before this election. We're not putting anybody on a pedestal. We just know this. That if certain things don't happen, the war in the natural, the war that's in the spirit already, we're going to have to fight that no matter what. But the war in the natural will go to a place like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible says, the Word says in the book of Joel that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, see visions, and have dreams. And I'm glad I go to a church like that. Hallelujah. Glory. Recently, a couple of his handmaidens, one had a vision, one had a dream. They didn't know either one that they had. One shared a dream with me a couple of, 6 weeks ago. I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago. And I just said on it, you know, knew it was from God, read it and read the interpretation. And I appreciate that person sharing it. And I just give it to God until he gets ready. Then I woke up this morning, said, okay, now. So I listen and obey. Hallelujah. But this is part of the war. And it's a two-part pronged war. It's first in the spirit. And we win it no matter what. But he really wants us to win it on both sides. Because our sons and our daughters are going to either get along a lot better or they're going to suffer. And there's nothing that we can do in the natural to take away that except pray for them. Hallelujah. I don't want to leave this earth not having done everything I can for my grandchildren and my children. Natalie, come and read your... There was two dreams, but one, I want the one, and then the interpretation of it. And hallelujah. Now, you don't have to rush, but...
Testing.
Okay. Natalie had a dream, and I know that you'll want to hear it. There's your pulpit for a bit.
So I had this dream back in March, and it's funny. Okay, so I'm going to share this part because he wants me to, but it's funny how the Lord is talking about pressing in, making yourself available to him, because when I had this dream, it was in a time of, I'm old school, I call it consecration, you know, where you can consecrate yourself before the Lord. It is involves all the pillars, fasting, worship, meditation, the Bible, but you make yourself available to hear him. It's a slight difference. So I don't do any TV, social media, like, because I get easily distracted. So so you just make yourself available to him. And so so here's the dream. My friend Sierra, and I do have to touch on this. Sierra is also on this walk. She does not live here, but she's been with me since the beginning of my Dave Roberson journey. So it's, she's one of us. So she's, I call her commander. So my friend Sierra and I were at a hotel. We were there for some type of conference. Alex arrived to pick me up. I went to check the room one last time, and it felt as if someone or something was watching me. Then Sierra and I started to walk down a hall of the hotel. We saw many people living their lives in their own world. As we continued to walk, where we were now at the back of the hotel, outside of an open field, we looked at the sky, and it now started to get dark. In the sky, we saw a portion of the sky become cloudy-like and on fire. And it was like a mixture of a sunset, cloud, on fire. And it was pretty, but it was off. We thought, well, maybe the trees right below it were on fire. As I looked closer, the trees were not on fire. This cloud-like figure was then moving and forming, still appearing to be on fire. We thought maybe because of the upcoming eclipse, the sky is looking different. But as I looked closer, I immediately realized it was a demon. Then I started to speak in tongues and pray against it. A face appeared out of this form, and it has now covered the sky almost completely by now. In the natural, it's pink and cloudy. It's pretty. It's hidden in plain sight. Then under this demon, its army appeared on the other side of the field across from us. We were then in another place, a battlefield. This army was massive, and it looked like regular people, but in the crowd, you could see who the demons were by their hands. Their hands were like a bird with black claws like nails. Then I looked next to me, and I saw my husband, Sierra, and an army. We too have humans with us, and also other mystical beings that have special powers whose hands were lit up with different colors. Our army began to pray scripture and speak against the dark army. We had no weapons, but only our mouths. I then declared, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. You may throw your arrows, but they will fall and be returned to you in Jesus' name. The dark army then launched their arrows at us, but none of their arrows touched us. The dark army was stunned, intimidated, and began to stand still. Our army also stood still, and a standoff started. Both armies sizing up one another, there was an unsaid understanding that this is a war, but the war would take place another time. The enemy, whose hands were like a bird-like claw, in unison made a pointing gesture. Our army nodded. As our army turned around, one of my generals, who was on a horse, who had the face of, I don't want to say his name because I know how the internet is funny. He's a well-known worship leader. His name doesn't matter, but just what he symbolizes. He's a well-known Christian worship leader. He looked at the dark army and did a pointed hand gesture, who also had the same bird-like hand. Then our backs were turned and we were attacked, and all of us woke up in a hospital as if we had battled. All of us jumped from our beds and we were unharmed. So after I had this dream, I immediately knew it wasn't a warning. This is a reality. This is more of a reminder of, you know, of what we're in. Then about, I just sat with it. I prayed. I tried my hardest not to put my own interpretation on it. And then I just sat and I just waited. I said, Lord, I told the pastor he was going to give me the interpretation, so I'm just going to sit here. So he gave it to me. But this is what he told me. The battle has already begun, as you already know, for this is not a warning, but a reminder of what is currently taking place. The battle is no longer hidden, but in open, plain sight. If you have eyes to see, you have already seen this battle. It is happening now, for the enemy's strategies have already been revealed to you, which is the 8 types of demons being released, and increase that pastor had shared with us. These things are hidden in plain sight. What seems of the flesh is an enemy, a devil hidden in plain sight. This battle is not of flesh and blood, but of spiritual wickedness and evil powers in high places. Therefore, pick up your weapons, your spiritual armor, and fight. Keep my word in your mouth, which is your sword. Only my word, coupled with the authority given in you, will defeat this enemy. You cannot rely on the world, but remain in me and my word. Test every spirit, every brother you are close to. Some have been sent to deceive you, but you know how to test the spirits. If they believe in me, that I am crucified, rose, and seated next to my Father, they are of me. If they do not believe that they are spirits of the Antichrist. So remain in me and I in you. The weapons will form against you, many attacks and delays, but it will not harm you. You will not fall. So remain in me and keep my word in your mouth as a two-edged sword and swing. Keep your feet planted in me, thus says the Lord. Abide in me, above all, abide in me. I don't know if anyone wants to write down these scriptures, but he had gave me John 15, 1 through 17, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Sorry, I know I'm going fast, but 2 John 1, 7 through 11, Jude 1, basically the entire chapter, but lean in on verses 10 to 22. I asked the Lord why the animal-like claws. He then instructed me to look up the image and see which bird it belonged to. Well, it was the bald eagle. I said, okay, Lord, it's the exact image, now what? I was then instructed to research what the claws were used for. Honestly, I thought it was just to hunt, but of course I just obeyed, but came to find out their claws are called talons, and they are used to capture, subdue, and kill their prey. Then he explained, this is exactly how the enemy works. The worship leader that I mentioned in the dream, who was a traitor, his face, who was on the horse, represent a familiar person, popular in the body of Christ, or known to be used by the Lord mightily, was an enemy hidden in plain sight and deceived us. I knew right away that this was not a warning, but a reminder. But that was it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we're in a war, and if you're sober about this war, you're just realizing that you take no fear, you take no, we're in a spiritual war, and it interprets over in the natural. The enemy's trying to destroy the nation, sincere people in the nation. One thing that was so many wonderful things that she said. I'm so glad we've got it where you can listen to this, watch it again. The familiarity of discerning personalities also is very important. And God's going to raise up a standard. Prophecy that we heard that came forth this morning was very sobering, but it's coming from the heart of a father that I remember him saying he's going to follow us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We're going to be glad for this walk. Hallelujah. Someone had a vision, and it's all about revival and us staying the course. I'd like for Amber to come and share, and as Natalie did, take your time, and you own the pulpit. Hallelujah. Testing. There we go.
Good morning. Good? Okay. I just invite you all to close your eyes, and I will try to paint this picture exactly the way that I saw it. This was a vision that I had during Sunday morning service on May 19th. So it's been a couple weeks ago. Worship was so good on that Sunday morning. It felt like Jesus was right in the room with us. Most Sundays we feel his presence, but then there are those certain times we've come to know when we feel like he's standing right next to us. For me, it was one of those times. As I was worshiping, this scene started to unfold in my mind. I was in a harbor, standing on a dock, looking at an ancient ship. You could tell it was very old, like something the Vikings would have used. You could see it would have been beautiful in its prime. A soft breeze was blowing, and that's what made me notice the cobwebs hanging from certain parts as they swayed in the breeze. Moments later, I was standing in the middle of the ship. At that point, I could tell its real state. It wasn't just old, it was battered, like it had been through a lot of battles. There were holes in the sides and in the floor, and through them, I could look down and see the level below. The wood was very dull. I knew the Holy Spirit was telling me that he built this ship a very long time ago. I looked up and I could see a sail bound up. I'm sure it used to be bright white, but now it was a very dingy yellow, showing again the age of the ship. The next part seemed strange. The ship was suddenly filled with people. It looked like they were from the Dark Ages by the attire they wore. I was standing in the middle of them, but they couldn't see me. They moved about the ship with diligent looks on their face, like they had a job to do. I know this is going to sound weird, but I started to look around, and one by one, their hearts began to glow, a bright, beautiful glow coming out of each one of them, and you could see it radiating through their clothes. Finally, after each one of them had their hearts aglow, they started to put their hands to their hearts. The glow was now on their hands as well. When they touched the holes, then they started touching the holes of the broken ship and different pieces of the ship. When they did this, it was like something magical started to happen. The glow from the people started spreading about the ship, fixing all the holes. The luster came back to it. It was shiny. It was being transformed to a new perfect state. At last, it was ready to sail. The ship then began to move out of the harbor into open ocean. I looked around at the people and realized their outfits had changed. They weren't in the Dark Ages anymore. They were somewhere around the time of the pilgrims. The same thing was happening to them as the others before them. Their hearts were glowing. As I looked around, it was like going through a time warp. I saw what looked like people from the Old West to the 20s and so on. The types of outfits kept changing, but with each change of time, the people's hearts all began to glow. The Holy Spirit said, "These are my peculiar people with strangely unselfish hearts that have qualified themselves throughout time because of their unselfishness and their willingness to lay it all down for me. As you can see, I built this ship a very long time ago." At this point, the timeline changed one last time. There were familiar faces now. It was us, our family here at this place. And some faces I didn't know, but I knew they were on this walk with us. Now a strong wind began to blow, so strong it broke loose the sail that had been tethered. As the sail rolled down, the wind caught it, and I was able to read what was written vertically in blood red letters against a pure white sail. It read revival. Then the Holy Spirit said precious words. He said, "You see, you are my peculiar people with strangely unselfish hearts in this time period. There's been times throughout history that this ship has sailed, but it's rare. It's rare because it takes a group with a certain state of the heart to be able to make it move and be able to make it through all the battles it'll face. It is not a one-man job. Right now, there are many among you whose hearts are beginning to glow with an anointing of a strangely unselfish heart. Be ready. Don't wait to spend time in my presence. This ship is getting ready to sail.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, ladies. And if you get a word, if you get a dream, just write it out. And then you can always share it with me. Not at a service, someplace other than that. I oftentimes don't remember anything you've said to me. And if I'm a good minister, I should not. I should be way more in the spirit than in the natural. If I can calculate things and remember natural things real good, I have a decent, not an overwhelming, but a decent intelligence. But my intelligence seems to be very lacking at times as far as memory with the anointing. Hallelujah. What do you want, Father? We worship you. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, dead are raised, demonic acts are set free. Presence revival, presence, credible presence. That's our mandate, that's our focus, that's our laser focus. But out of that, we're not hobbled to say, what's around us? What's going on in the natural because of what's happening in the spirit realm? There's a war going on. And the natural realm's just reflecting that war. It's a war for the planet. It's a war for the harvest. The evil that took place. For some of you that may be trying to reconcile the moment of spirituality that's taking place with the current political things, it's all one. It's all, this morning, the mind of Christ. We're not trying to elect a pastor to lead us into revival. We've got those. We understand a man lacking in many multiple places of character in different places. But the things that have taken place even this week have never taken place in America. Never. Not even close. I was having lunch with my son-in-law yesterday, and we was talking about, and he brought up how that revival has to be intimate because of the what we're seeing in the natural. It's so supernatural that the counterpart, the antithesis of that, which is revival, has got to come into place. Harry, Robert, you can take his place. Hallelujah. Robert's, he's got to work for a while until Harry comes over and starts working, and then Robert will be with us one day too. So hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to hire all the Plamondons. But he's got a short video that I want you to see. This is just another combination of the morning. Hallelujah. Worship God with me. We praise you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Lift your hands. We magnify you. Glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. You had a short stay, Robert. So this is Dutch Sheets, and this is something current, and it really is part of everything the Holy Spirit's trying to get across to us this morning. So give it a listen. Praise God. Amen.
Hello. Thank you for joining me today for Give Him 15. The title of our post today is Stay Focused. God will have the last word. Since the Give Him 15 devotionals are posted very early each weekday morning, I have to write and record them on the day before. Today's was completed before I heard the news that the jury in Trump's trial had reached a verdict. Of course, I knew I would have to save that one and write another. For the past 3 hours, I've spoken with several friends and revisited what I've been hearing from Holy Spirit during the past several months. Started writing about 8, by the way. It is now late, and I am recording, obviously. Before I share, I want to say that earlier today, I began feeling heavy sadness and grief for the nation. As I was praying and writing the earlier post, the one I'm now saving, a friend called to talk about an unrelated matter, but during the conversation mentioned the sad condition of America. The floodgates opened. I began to weep to the point of being unable to speak. I couldn't finish our conversation. He, knowing this was travail from Holy Spirit, graciously ended the call. I walked and prayed for a while, then continued writing. I tell you this to point out that the sadness many are feeling over the depth of corruption in our nation was already coming on me for the purpose of prayer. Like many, it wasn't as much anger I felt, but a deep wave of sadness. I want to clearly state that the sadness is not from a feeling of defeat. I wasn't surprised at the verdict, but instead is intense grief over the shocking depths to which America has fallen. I'm still confident that revival is coming. America shall be saved, but the cost of our sin has been great. And it is not yet over. The shaking will continue for a season. Tonight, Thursday, as I'm recording this, as I've been seeking the Lord, Holy Spirit reminded me of the following. Number one, Chris Reed's dream on March 9th of this year, 2024. He saw a 16 to 17 month period of time, which symbolized the rebirth of America. It began around the time of the eclipse in April and ended in July 2025. The season was very chaotic, difficult, alarming. At times it looked like the baby, a reborn America, might not make it. But it did. At one point in the dream, July 11th stood out to him, though at the time he didn't know if it was in 2024 or 2025. We found out today that July 11th is Trump's sentencing date. Number two, a pastor friend of mine had a dream in June 2022, that's 2 years ago. I don't feel it's time to share all of it, but some I can. In the dream, he found himself standing next to Trump. And in the dream, it was now 2024. So he had it in 22, but he was dreaming of ahead in 2024. Trump said, "I'll be a political martyr in the next few years. Not because of my goodness, but because God has put the tools in me to tear down, root up, and confront the system. It'll be an 8-year process, and it'll take 2 men, me, then another, for the full sweep of power. I've watched as the leftists, globalists, and Dems have tried to destroy Trump. Truly, he is a political martyr. And yet, in the dream, he prevailed and served his second term, beginning the tearing down of the evil system, which was finished by another. Thirdly, Gina Goldston's dream, Work While You Celebrate. The dream in which intercessors were instructed to paint the borders and anchor the nation. It told us that a great shaking was coming. But the dream also said not to fear. America would survive if we obeyed the Lord, and we did. Revival came along with the shaking. And links to the 3 posts I did on that dream are here if you'd like to revisit them. For the Lord to emphasize over and over not to fear told me the shaking and difficulties would be severe. This is why I've said multiple times in the Giving 15 post that things will get worse before they get better. I don't want you to be caught off guard and waver in your faith. We are not yet through the shaking, but what is coming will shake down evil, awaken the nation, and end in revival. Stay in the secret place of Psalm 91. Don't forget to pray over the waterways, water supplies, dams, ports. Terrorists are here. Pray for Trump and other God-fearing leaders. And do not fear. Stay in a place of faith. And number 4, this evening, Thursday, I'm preparing this post, which, as you listen to this, would be last night. Pat McManus, a friend who pastors in Illinois, shared a word with me. A few nights ago, the Lord awakened him with a prophetic word. Holy Spirit said, "The fierceness of my throne is coming. Guard your heart. Stay focused on me. I am releasing a fire that will strengthen those that are willing to hear the sound. Going to purge the land with the fire of my glory. Stand and stay focused on me. You are entering my glory." Excuse me. "Rest assured that I'm strengthening your heart. I'm about to come in power. Don't lose sight of that which I'm about to release on the land, an unquenchable fire. Stand strong. Don't lose sight of what I'm about to do. Again, stay focused, persistently pursuing and pressing into all that I am. I'm igniting the fire. It will blaze with my glory, and nothing will stop the dismantling, reordering, and repositioning." The fire and glory of God is coming to America. It will cleanse, and it will empower. We must stay focused on him, not the shaking, and refuse to be shaken. It will tear down that which is evil, not us. We will emerge on the other side with renewed strength and purpose and a renewed nation. Evil will not prevail. Yes, the kingdom of darkness believes it is winning, but God will have the last word. Let's pray. Father, though we grieve with you over this prodigal nation and the price of our rebellion, we are steadfast in our faith for revival and recovery. There will be a rebirth of America. We will wear the new robe and new ring, and we will eat the fattened calf. We ask once again for the dismantling of evil in America from the top down. Free the nation from wicked leaders, evil systems, and deception. Expose the evil one and his partners, and save millions. Strengthen President Trump. He is being martyred politically. But you will raise him up again. Strengthen the God-honoring leaders in our nation, giving them boldness, backbones of steel. Protect them and their families, and protect our great land. We ask this in Yeshua's name. And decree. We decree that darkness will scatter in the light. Evil will be shaken down. And truth will prevail in America. Thank you for joining me. Stay strong. Stay focused. See you Monday.
Are we still streaming? Oh, good. Sometimes algorithms, I'll just leave it at that, kick us off. I was dining with my wife at a really nice place that we like to frequent, and I had ordered one of my favorite meals there Thursday evening, and I probably should not have been doing what I was doing at a meal with such a lovely lady, but I kept checking my phone because I knew the verdict was imminent. And sure enough, just about the time the meal was served, because I'm hoping there's still threads of sanity in the world, and I realized again, the world is totally insane. There is no sanity in the world. There's only sanity in Christ. And I didn't get enough amens on that. Amen. Hallelujah. They're not going to pick up your voice and follow you home with the internet. So, this is a blog from from Mario Morello this past, what's that, Thursday maybe? No, it would have been Friday. Now this may stump some of you just a little bit for just a minute. Jesus was a convicted felon, convicted by political enemies, and 80 million Americans believe something like that happened today. And it is not me who is saying it. You may consider this as an outrageous comparison, but that does not matter. What matters is that they believe it, and you can never change their minds. I will not give the internet, he said, censoring algorithm, the satisfaction of mentioning any names, although you know who and what I am talking about. A certain party just made the most massive mistake they could have made. 80 million people will now act as one. For them today was deeply a personal act. They believe you did it. They believe you did it to them. They hear you saying you can't have the America you want, but they think they can have, and they will. You have made a huge mistake. Far from diminishing our numbers, many have gotten off the fence. You have enlarged the ranks in the Patriots and energized them. Amen. Amen. I appreciate it. Amen. Can I get a couple more?
Amen. Okay.
But for you, it will have an opposite effect. Many who backed your cause may not have the stomach for this much corruption and tyranny. You will hear them say, I didn't know you were going to take it this far. Will there be a violent insurrection? You tried to get them to do that before, remember? And you failed. No, they will not stoop to violence. That would make it too easy for you. No, they're going to do something far more effective. They are going to organize, they're going to do to have massive rallies and register millions to vote. Not only that, they're going to boycott every sponsor of today's action. And what can you do to stop them? There are simply too many of them for you to silence. There are too many of them for you to cancel. Who should you feel sorry for, he asked. Feel sorry for any one of your candidates whose fate rests with independent voters. Your town hall meetings should now be very interesting. Wow, this was a truly stupid thing to do. You have inherited the whirlwind. You will get the polar opposite of what you wanted. Whatever victory you think you have won is a fantasy. Whatever traction you think you will get from this is an illusion. Japanese Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto, who planned the attack on Pearl Harbor, reportedly wrote in his diary, I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. Hallelujah. Pray. Stay narrowly focused. Do whatever we can that the Holy Spirit directs. My life is given, as you well know, and this is not to elevate myself. You of that are here are part of it, is to give myself over to prayer and fasting and word for the purpose of coming into the image of Christ, receiving the fullness of the kingdom and outpouring of his Spirit. I'm also to fight evil where I see it and encourage others to do the same. I sent him money last night. Well, Pastor, we don't care. Pastors need to get off the fence. Amen. You need to either know where they're at or not. You either say, well, I'm not going to go to that church no more, or yes, that's my church. We will not have people not miss. I love you too much for anybody to say, I'm not really sure where. You know exactly where I stand. And I stand in the spirit realm, but I also fight for our children. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Please stand with me. Hallelujah. If you didn't hear that, Natalie said comically, all right, Bishop. Don't any of you start calling me Bishop.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Robert, kind of give us some, we got a couple minutes here. Let's just lift our hands and praise God because we win. We really do win. Hallelujah. And we are on the winning side. Revival is here. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to help him out there. You guys can get together for just a minute, whatever. Glory be to God. We exalt you, Jesus. Come on, let's magnify him. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys, lead us in something before we leave here today. Just whatever the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sing it to him. Yes.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb.
You're holy, Jesus. God, send this outpouring. Fill this region with revival. The places where people are watching, Lord God, fill their lives, fill their homes, fill their cities with the glory of God. Let America be saved. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Holy, yes, you are. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
Yes, Jesus.
Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Now,
Father, I just bless all of the homes, individuals, moms and dads, and children, people that are watching. Keep us, Lord, in this hour. The shaking that is going to take place, but also the remnant that's going to receive the blessings from your Spirit like we've never known. Lord, I bless them. I send angels, and I say, angels, watch over and protect. Let the glory of God and the Holy Spirit rest over our homes, our marriages, our families, our workplaces. Lord, let the businesses prosper. Let our bodies prosper. We bless and we give all the glory to God. And we release the Spirit of God upon your people. Keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.